The questions often are asked in this world, and one day they will suddenly be answered by Jesus Christ. Why? He will answer all those questions. We have a mountain to climb ahead of us. I will probably not be here with you to climb that mountain, but I will climb the same mountain that you will climb. For beyond this mountain lies a promised land, a city built by God's own hand. May our destination be to stand together one day in God's presence as a redeemed people, and as our flood of memories seek to draw on past lives, the future will so unfold itself to us, we will be caught up in His glory, and all tears will be wiped away. What a God we serve. The Lord in His Word describes these times. I was looking through old magazines, you know, kind of emptying out my office and throwing away things that I've acquired over the years. This is now not transferring to another church. It's dawning on me, I'm retiring. This will be my last sermon as an official pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Many things to say. Difficult? Yes. Uncertain? Yes, very much. But happy that God has led me, yes, I am. Anyway, as I flooded through my memories of magazines, I came across Time. The date was November 13, 2008. The New Hard Times for America. That's the title, The New Hard Times. And I couldn't, it showed people standing in line in the Great Depression, 1929. I wonder if we're closer 3 years later than we realize. America has lost over 4,400 troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have spent well over $850 billion on the heels of the greatest economic downturn in the history of this world, aside from the Great Depression. America has managed to hold on to some semblance of economic stability as we try to prop up a dead economy with extended unemployment checks and low interest rates for those who might have enough money to buy a new home. But listen, the margin between the have and the have-nots is no longer why not but cannot. Paul understood this crisis and this generation. He had a grasp of the issues at stake that you and I face if I really want to be prepared to see Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to you about how we can face the future. As I read the Bible, I'm convinced that the Lord will not leave His children, especially when they are facing hard times. He is close. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm sure you've read it many times. When I thought about the scripture to preach to you, it came to my mind, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And if you look with me at verse 1, Paul is giving a charge to Timothy. And if you were to say something to someone and you knew you were about to die, what would you say? What would be your last words? How would you encourage a brother or sister struggling in these times? And here's what Paul says. I urge you, I charge you, Timothy, I'll add that. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, Seventh-day Adventists are right. The living and the dead will be judged. At His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Timothy, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. For fulfill your ministry. For I, Paul, am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure or my death is at hand. And here it is. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Is that a beautiful scripture? I gleaned some things from this. Probably you remember Harold Camping. How many of you remember him? Well, he predicted Christ would come, or Judgment Day would be May 21st, and then he predicted October what? Do you remember? Well, I'll let you look up on the internet then. But anyway, listen. Since atheists belong to a different flock, they plan to celebrate in their heathen ways at the apocalypse after parties of October 22nd. So they believed that he would come October 21st. Is that very significant to Seventh-day Adventists? Well, listen to this now. According to the memo Camping released, God told this 89-year-old preacher, look, don't you know that it is now Judgment Day, that the day of salvation has come and gone, and I'm no longer saving people? I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that Harold Camping is wrong. But the hand of mercy is still extended for you and me. But I will not join an atheist party to condemn Brother Camping, because I know that we are living at the end of time, and we know not the hour of the Master's appearing. If you highlight Paul's message, here's some clip notes of mine. The coming of the Lord will reveal the judgment that has taken place, namely, those saved, those lost. The investigative judgment will be over. Secondly, the appearing of Jesus will reward those who are faithful to him. I'm reminded of Luke 12:48, whom much is given, much is required. The same is true, whom little has been made much. In other words, those with little talents have lived for Jesus. Much will be given to them. Would you say amen? See, there are qualities of rewards. Some will have a crown with one star. Others will have a crown with many stars. I just want to get in the gate. You know the sad part, my precious friends, is that many people today live their whole life as Seventh-day Adventist, or as a Christian for that matter, and when it comes down to the end of their life, they really do not know where they're going. Ah, but that's different from men I met yesterday in a parking lot of Sherm. The Walmart, pardon me, he had a little oxygen tank with a little hose up to his nose. 72 years old. Not all that much older than me. And I looked at him, and he looked at me. He said, you're that old? I said, yeah. Oh, well, God's been good to you. Well, anyway, you got to see this. We talked about Jesus, and I finally said to him, I said, isn't God wonderful? Now, I want you to know something. There are people out there who are not Seventh-day Adventists who love Jesus. And listen, with smoke on their breath, they love Jesus. They just don't know the truth. So I talked to him about the Lord, and we praised God in the parking lot of Walmart as we lifted praise to Jesus and talked to one another about Christ. I'm reminded of the two on the road to Emmaus when Jesus met them. They said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us, by the way? And it was so good. You know, he and I talked, and I said, Jesus is coming soon. He said, well, I haven't got much, an old Oldsmobile, and tires are bad, it's rusted out, but I'm going home, my body's bad, you know. I don't know, any day, I'm white as a sheet one day, and the next day I can breathe, but I want to see Jesus. That ought to be encouraging for those of us, listen to me now, who have kept the commandments of God. You are a part of God's remnant church. You belong to God's chosen. Did you know that? Out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, he called you. Does that mean you're better than other Christians? No, but it does mean this. You're more knowledgeable, and more light has been given to you than out there. There are those who are going to fall away from truth, Paul said. They want itching ears. It's my prayer that you never allow someone to lead you away from truth. If he begins to undermine what you have heard, go back to what you have heard and learned and share the word of God with that person and tell them that's not from God. We know the truth. And there is a fight that we're in. It's a race course. It's not a brief sprint. It's a marathon. Okay, how can I make it? Take a sheet out and write this down. I'd like to give you some words of encouragement. First, lift up your head and look ahead to the goal. Lift up your head and look ahead. If you lift up your head, you're going to look ahead. The other day, you're going to laugh at this. Oh, my. I was walking outside of a store, not watching where I was going, and I ran into a pole. And it did not move. I came back, and my glasses were twisted, and I said, oh, my. That's what happens when you don't look where you're going. Lift your head up. Listen to me now. You need not be discouraged. We're going home. Keep your head high. Lift up your head and look ahead. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 28, we read, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth the nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming upon the world. These are the words of Jesus. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Would you say amen? Keep my head high and look ahead. You know what the Bible says here? When Jesus says the sea is in a tossing mode, now there are two ways to read that. A literal geographic tossing of the oceans, which I believe will happen. I believe we're going to see some catastrophic thing happen very shortly in this world. But there's a second thing, a second application. The Bible says in Revelation 17:15, seas represent nation, tongues, and people. I believe there will be such a frenzied confusion in this world before Jesus comes that when you follow the Lord, you will be the direct target of the enemy. But listen, greater is he in here than he that is out there. Philippians chapter 3 says, brethren, one thing I do, verse 13 and 14, I forget what lies behind and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I am going home. You know what I did? I went ahead and I thought about what this really means to lift up your head. How many of you have been discouraged this week? Raise your hand if you have. Lift up your head. How many of you are struggling with something? Lift up your head. You know what the problem is? When you focus on your problem, you're not focusing on Jesus. If you have a habit and you're focusing on the habit, you're not focusing on Jesus. It's like the man who said, I'm going to stay away from sweets. I've gained too much weight. And all he talks about throughout the week is apple pie. Well, he's going to eat apple pie because that's all he talks about. That must be me, honey. I'm always talking about sweets. Secondly, fix your eyes as you lift up your head on Jesus as our high priest. Other translations have considered such a high priest. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Would you take your Bible, please, and turn briefly there. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. This great writer to Hebrews. Oh, to see Paul again. How many of you would desire that, to see the Apostle Paul again? Why do I say again? Because we see him in Scripture, but to see him personally. All right, listen. Therefore, holy brethren, that's you and me, partakers of the heavenly calling, that's you and me, consider, fix the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on him. Let us consider him. I wrote down a few things. Why are we to look at Jesus? Okay, number one, we are to look above because that's where Jesus is. And that's where he's going to come from. Secondly, Hebrews 2:14, the Bible says Jesus was made like us in human form. We will see Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Number three, because of this, he can sympathize with our weaknesses because he was made like you. He knows that you are tempted. He knows that you are tried, and he's the only way you can make it through. And number four, he's the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews 5:9. Number five, he has entered within the presence of God, Hebrews 6:19. Number six, by his own intercession, he saves us. In fact, he lives to intercede, Hebrews 7:25. Oh, I remember the nights at prayer meeting that we dwelt on Christ, our high priest. Number eight, the heavenly ministry of Jesus in a heavenly sanctuary. not with the blood of bulls and goats, but his own precious blood. And last, we fix our eyes on Jesus. As we join the great faithful all the way down through history, we become one of those throngs of great witnesses who keep our eyes on him. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, Paul says, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, verse 2 of Hebrews 12, that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's hard. I know this is hard for you and me living in this world to actually believe in something we have not seen. I went out the other night, and there was a full moon, and I was walking the dog. And I couldn't help but think, somewhere out there, beyond the stars, is the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000, the lily of the valley. He's out there, far beyond the reaches of the heavens. And by the way, as a sidebar, while I'm out there walking the dog, I have 6 deer following me. About 10 feet behind. I'm not exaggerating. They are my pets now. I will go, and they come. I said, come on with Daddy. And here's Mom and her 2 babies. Here's a brother and a sister and another young female doe in the back, and they're trotting along. So funny. I look behind me, and it's like cattle's falling, a farmer falling. Last night, I went out with little Snuggles, and I'm walking down the road, and we ran right into them. They were looking for me, and I started to call, and Snuggles went crazy because they started running up to us and followed us all the way home. Followed me up on, and jumped. In fact, one of them was as close as this. He jumped up on the lawn and looked at me, his ears flopping back and forth. It's time to feed. It's time for food. Where have you been? We came back from up in Portland area for a doctor's appointment for my wife, and we hadn't fed them for 2 days. Oh my, that night they all came out of the woodwork. I mean, last night we had 6 out there. You know, that's a bit of heaven in this earth. How many of you say amen to that? And you know, I read somewhere, I'm not sure it's true, but I read somewhere that if God's creation can trust you, it's because God loves you and he sends his creation to you. And those animals are something. Number 3, open your heart, your ears to listen. Not only lift up your head, fix your eyes, but open your ears to listen. Hebrews chapter 2, listen to this, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest attention or heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. There's a chance that you will leave here and drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? And here Paul is tracing the translation of the word from those who saw Christ and passed it on. Be careful to the things you hear. Open your ears and listen to what God is saying. Take your Bible and turn to Daniel chapter 12 just for a moment. Oh, I remember the prayer meeting nights that we dwelt on Daniel, and how I love Daniel. Oh, I love Daniel. Those of you who've been to prayer meeting, have we had a joyous time? Oh, my, my. Daniel chapter 12, I want you to hear this. Here's Daniel 12 and verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Two resurrections. Some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting contempt. Now listen to verse 3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness shall be like the stars forever and ever. Look at verse 10. Many shall be purified. The many purified is a remnant, made white and refined like gold. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Now, I want you to catch this. None of the wicked, what does your Bible say? What does it say? What's the next word? None of the wicked what? They don't understand. But listen, the wise understand. It's not enough to hear the word of God come in your life. You need to apply it to your life and understand it. How many of you would say amen to that? Let the word of God settle in your life and make it real in your heart. Number four, it's time to speak up and share what you know. Speak up, share what you know. Turn to Esther chapter 4. You know it's an amazing book. Esther chapter 4. Come on, Esther, I know you're in there. I'm a pastor, and you know something? These little kids that memorize the books, I know they're there. Esther chapter 4. Listen to this. It's so beautiful. Esther chapter 4. Listen to this. And verse 13 and 14. Do you have it there? I realize I need a lapel mic. I want you to catch this. Now listen to verse 13. And Mordecai told him to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews." Let's stop for a moment. She was a Jew. Esther had been elevated to queen. And Mordecai, a relative, said to her, "You're the queen. There's an edict to put the Jews to death. You need to stand up." And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen carefully. It may very well be when the time of great trouble hits this world that some of your neighbors will be your worst enemies. And I pray to the Lord you have an Esther for you. Listen to this now. "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place." You know what the Lord's saying through Esther here? You know what he's saying? If you're not going to fulfill your responsibility and share with your neighbors that Christ is coming soon and that there's a time of trouble such as never was, if you're not going to stand up and be counted and walk in the light as he is the light, if you're not going to do that, truth will come from someplace else and you will be lost. How do I know that? Listen to the rest of this. "But for you and your father's house, they will perish. Yet who knows?" Oh, I love this. The greatest text, one of the greatest in the Bible. "Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for what?" Say it with me. "Such an hour as this." Imagine you were born for this hour. Do you know that people live their whole life, and they never realize the hour for which they were born? It could very well be you have been in training camp, basic training, for the last great events when God will arrive. Rise in your life, and he will appoint you to speak out for him. It will be your hour, your time. Who knows? I'd like to think my greatest days lie ahead. I pray that. In Psalm 96, the Bible says, "Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among his peoples, for great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The Lord made the heavens." Oh my, I was speaking at this little church my sister attends in Vermont, in New Hampshire rather, and one of the people walked up to me and asked me about a name. "Do you know Edward Labby?" And I said, "Oh, yes. I baptized him. He attends church." He had been pastoring for a while until his back became bad. You don't know what God is going to do for you. Do you know, I was discouraged when I thought about retirement. Nobody retires in ministry, right? And then God gave me a picture. He said, "For my grace and my glory, you are here. And here's what I have done." And I just wept. I said, "Oh, God. Praise be to your holy name. You're a wonderful Lord. You really are." Number five, last and closing, step forward. Walk in the light that God has given you. Step forward. Say something. Lift up your head. Fix your eyes. Listen up. Say something and step forward. Step forward. You know, I think the greatest text, one of the greatest texts is John 3, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. Here's a writer of the Apocalypse in his little epistle saying, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. John was like a father to these dear folk. He was like a father, and he said, when I hear these good things, it brings me joy to know you're walking in the truth. In 2 John verse 4, he says, it has given me great joy again to find some of your children walking in the truth. Some of your children, not all of your children, but some of your children. Here's the point I want to emphasize in this. As you walk for God, you may have children that will say to you, Dad, this is good for you, it's not good for me. Mom, I love you. Your faith is not my faith. That's the hardest words to hear in the world. But I want to say something to you. Do not blame yourself. If you have lived up to the light you have, God is not done with them yet. He will bring the prodigals home. Oh, I love that. I'm no expert on the second coming of Jesus, but I do know someone who is. That's why I invited him here today to lead out. His name is Jesus Christ. He knows a lot more than anyone here and a lot more than me. In Luke 21:8-9, he says, don't be fooled. Many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time has come. But don't follow them. Don't be afraid when you hear of wars and revolutions and collapsing economies. I added that. Such things must happen, but don't. It doesn't mean the end is near. Countries will fight against each other. Kingdoms against kingdom. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of this world. But remember, your Lord is coming. Your Lord is coming. A former park ranger at Yellowstone National Park tells the story of a ranger leading a group of hikers to a fire lookout. The ranger was so intent on telling the hikers about the flowers and the animals that he considered the messages on his two-way radio distracting, so he switched it off. Nearing the tower, the ranger was met by a nearly breathless or out of breath lookout who had run to meet him, who asked, why didn't you respond to the messages on your radio? He said, well, I was busy. A grizzly bear had been stalking this group for a mile and a half, and the authorities were trying to warn them of the danger, but they were too busy. And anytime we tune out the messages of God, we put at peril not only ourselves, but those around us. You know, it's been a kind of a custom since I've been here to invite you to join me if you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Let's stand. If you'd like to come forward, and I can pray for you and ask God to bless you and hold you in the palm of his hand and to do a mighty work for you in your life, because he's a wonderful God. He is a wonderful God. Most of us have challenges that we can't face alone. We need Jesus in our life. So I want to invite you to come and join me as we pray. We ask God to be with you and to bless you and to wrap his arms of love around you, because we know not the hour the Master's appearing. We're going to sing it in just a moment here. First, I want to pray for you that God gives you a pure heart. And secondly, I want to pray that you will keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Those who fall around you are subject to Christ, not you. You need to keep your eyes on the Lord. How many of you would agree? Amen. So I'm going to pray that you fix your eyes on Jesus today as he, through his angels and his Holy Spirit, walks among us. Our Heavenly Father, we know not the hour the Master's appearing. We are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time. But Lord, beyond the heaven of heavens, there is an eternity fashioned for us. It will begin in heaven and then return to an earth made new. Oh, Lord, we will watch you recreate this earth. What a wonderful God. Just the thought blows away our minds. We cannot conceive or perceive the things you have in store for us. We love you. We are here this morning. We'd like to surrender our hearts, dear God. We pray for the power of your Holy Spirit as we endeavor to do our best to live for you, if we have offended thee or another in any way. Forgive us, Father, we pray, and may those sins be covered by the blood of Calvary's cross. Thank you that today we can leave here saved, assured people. Ellen White said, we need not remain unsaved another minute. We can have assurance. Lord, the Adventist Church has never taught once saved, always saved, but we have believed from our inception that if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins. And we thank you for that. Go with us today, we pray, as we walk in your Spirit. In Jesus' name and for His sake. And the whole church said,
amen. Amen.
Father God, be with us today as we go to our homes. Thank you for the privilege of pastoring this church for these last 2 years. Be with Christine and me, and may we walk in the light and rejoice in you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.